like nothing you have ever heard before. It's a tough room. It's the place to be. Thrive to survive. It's Taz. It's the Moose. It's CBS Sports Radio.
One, two.
You know it's every day. Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport. You know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL to college games. They always bringing the knowledge. Nobody ever could try to go stop it. Only me talking the truth. Only me talking the truth. Ayy. You know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Ayy.
Alright, it is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Monday morning on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You've got Mike and Pete across the way. Andrew with your updates as we're down to our final hours. We roll right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. Let's get to it. Here we go, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Astros take all three in Washington, lead series 3-2.
Yeah, Taz, what a collapse. I mean, honestly, what a collapse. I was proud as a peacock of my Nats on Friday morning last time we spoke, and little did I know that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, the Astros would be alive and well.
Yeah. Crazy. Crazy.
The Astros went in three straight down in Washington, D.C., in front of the Nat fans, now lead 3-2, going back home. They're the overwhelming favorite. Verlander on the mound, Strasburg for a Game 6 on Tuesday night. We'll see if there's a Game 7. Dave Martinez telling his team he believes that there'll be a 7th game. We'll see them on Wednesday night. Maybe the Nats need to go through this kind of duress in order to win their first World Series, Taz. The last ultimate challenge in taking down the Astros. I'm trying to be positive, Taz, on this Monday morning. As a Washington fan, I'm trying to be positive and avoid the topic of what looks like an absolute locomotive in the Astros rolling downhill. When Alvarez is hitting home runs, who basically couldn't hit his way out of a paper bag against the Yankees, that's when you know what? The luck has turned. It's an Astros World Series.
Yeah, no, this is, I mean, I think they're done. I mean, the Nats are Dunsky, and they're going to, Lone Star State, they're going to be celebrating. It'll be a parade, right? It's going to get me in Texas, not in the District of Columbia, which is Washington, D.C., if you didn't know what that meant. I just think that they ran out of gas here. It's obvious. The lose drop three in a row at home, and for your bats to go this cold for the Nationals, they got 4 hits yesterday. I know how great Cole is, don't get me wrong. I mean, we had 7 innings. He had like 9 or 10 strikeouts. He looked great. He had 110 pitches. Dude, he was throwing 110 pitches. He was still in the high 90s, right? Yeah. He was still throwing gas. So, you know, I mean, the guys couldn't hit the ball. It had 4 hits.
I could not do much of anything. When they had an opportunity down 2-1, first and third, nobody out, strikeout, double play, ended that threat. Then you get the Correa home run to make it 4-0, the solo blast by Soto. And then you get 3 runs tacked on, 2-1, for the Houston Astros as they lengthened out that lead and what turned into a 7-1 victory, Taz, as they have complete command of the series right now. And we'll see if Washington's got enough. The one thing that you give them, the one thing you hold out hope for is that Scherzer, as we discussed earlier in the show, who was unable to pitch last night dealing with neck spasms?
Neck spasms, yeah.
Right, dealing with neck spasms. That Scherzer, who wasn't not able to pitch, maybe he is over those to pitch in a Game 7, and that you've got Strasburg for Game 6, and Strasburg can get you to a 7th game with Scherzer on the mound. Maybe you have hope for that. I think that's basically about it.
I think you're right. I think though, if you're the Nats, you can't obviously, you know. And I get your point, but you can't put the cart ahead of the horse. You got to worry about winning tomorrow.
Yes, true.
And it's going to be an ambitious task for the Washington Nationals because momentum is definitely not on their side. They had momentum throughout the postseason, coming out of the wild card, all this great stuff, and everybody's like, "Oh my God, they're shocking the world!" Blah 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 blah. Yeah, but they're running out of gas now. You know, that ended. And now it seems that the momentum's back on the side of the team that's been one of the more dominant teams throughout the whole Major League Baseball season in the Houston Astros. So, you know, that victory last night, that 7-1 win, was the real deal. And these wins have been convincingly wins. You know, that the Astros have been putting on the Nats.
Oh, they've been laying it on, Taz. Yeah. And the road team has won each and every game of this series. The Nats would have to make a little baseball history because they would have to win both games on the road to where home field advantage meant nothing in the World Series. No team in baseball has ever done that. Mm. There's never been a series in which the road team won each and every game of a respective World Series. So can the Nats pull off a little bit of history? Right now it looks like a long shot, but I'd say Friday morning it looked like the Strohs were done.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden the Strohs are alive and well. Maybe there'll be another twist to this story from a Nationals perspective, but they're going to have to score early, Taz. They're going to have to take that crowd out of it. Strasburg's going to have to be utterly and completely brilliant. And, you know, besides Dave Martinez telling his team what he, you know, that there will be a Game 7, what exact message? Because they're smart guys. They understand. You know, they had probably thought they were going to end that series down in Washington. You know, they had won 8 straight, 18 of 20, 20 of 22. Now you look at it, what do you think Dave Martinez tells his team getting set for a Game 6?
He's got to try to stay as positive as possible. It's hard. He's got to just try to pick them up. And just say, listen, we're here. This is it. We got to leave it all on the field. We got to go to Houston. We got to leave it all out there. We got to leave it all on the field at Minute Maid Park. We cannot play games. We got to be, you got to put your know what on the table. I mean, it's got to go. We got to go. We got to go hard. And we got to go 150 miles an hour. And we can't sit back. This is it. It's do or die. You know, they got to win. They got to get some momentum. If you're the Nationals, and I don't think they're gonna. I don't think they're gonna. I think right now the momentum heavily is on the side of the home team, which is gonna be the Houston Astros. This thing's done.
By the way, I thought of you, and we'll get to the second topic here momentarily. But I thought of you when I saw the Ken Rosenthal tweet of the Mets bombshell mystery candidate.
I didn't see this. When was this?
Now, there was wide-ranging speculation. It came down yesterday.
Why didn't you tell me?
No. I should have told you. But the Mets bombshell mystery candidate. People speculated, hey, maybe it's A.J. Hinch, right? People speculated, hey, maybe it's, I threw the name Jim Leland out there. Someone said maybe Tony La Russa, who was working as a special advisor to Dave Dombrowski up there in Boston. Mm. The Mets mystery candidate.
Hold on. You know the mystery candidate?
Yeah, Rosenthal reported it.
I'm looking at it right now. Oh, no. Yeah, you say it.
Pat Murphy. Oh. Milwaukee Brewers bench coach.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
That was the mystery, as some said, bombshell candidate. Pat Murphy, the bench coach for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Good year.
Oh, my God.
Would you exactly say that's a bombshell, though?
No.
Who told somebody that said this is a bombshell candidate? And I'm not trying to insult Pat Murphy, all of 60 years of age. He used to coach the Golden Domers collegially at Notre Dame and has been around baseball for 30 years. God. But how is that a bombshell candidate? The great Pat Murphy.
Dude.
I mean, come on, Taz.
I mean,
Someone told somebody, we got a bombshell for you. Nobody's thinking about him. Someone told me, who the hell is Pat Murphy?
I didn't know who he was. What, Oliver Mamalo wasn't available? He's the bench coach for the Cardinals. Random.
But I thought about
Jeff Albert wasn't available?
We threw that out there, remember? And I said, you know what would be a good bombshell candidate? Taz. Imagine Taz coming in.
I tell you, I think I have...
Stepping in. You'd give a hell of a presser, I'll tell you that.
I'd cut a promo. Walk in, brim down. Oh. Promo cut.
Freshly shaved beard.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Tightened up for sure.
Right.
I'd wear a suit.
Right.
You'd have
that number 13 jersey on.
I wouldn't in the dugout. This is a little different. I'd have a 13. My jersey number would be that, but it'd be embroidered on my lapel because I'd wear a suit. I'd be different than all these managers. I'd wear a suit like an NBA coach.
Nice.
I'd wear a suit in the dugout. That'd be my thing. With a bow tie.
Put a bow tie.
For those listening early. That's what I would wear.
All orange.
All orange, yeah.
Right.
Hopefully I'm going to the Astros. I don't think I'm going to the Astros. Or the Tigers. They have some orange,
Mets
too.
Have not named a manager yet, but their bombshell candidate is Pat Murphy.
They got some orange. I do have probably more managerial head coaching experience at a travel ball level.
Yeah.
When my son was younger. I can just bring my guys in. Danny Porciello, Joe Malfitano, all my coaches, my staff I had.
Nice.
I bring them all in.
The guy that wanted to go up to Albany to play so he could run to Saratoga?
Yes, exactly.
Really quality committed to guys. The job. I got a tip on the third on a maiden special weight. 85 grand. He's 12-1 on the morning line. I'm heading up north.
We're playing the Jersey Mustangs. Don't worry, the kids will be fine. What about Danny Jr.? Just give him a ride. All right. Thanks, Dan. See you. About Danny Jr.
Oh, my God. That's funny. All right.
Pat Murphy.
Number two.
J.J. Watt out for the year after tearing muscle and chest against the Raiders.
Okay, hold on. Before we talk about J.J. Watt, so I understand what Rosenthal put out the tweet, the Pat Murphy. I just to button this up. Your sources, SNY Jones, you got all the Met people. They're not going with this guy, are
No,
they?
I don't think so. No. I think it's a long shot. From my understanding, it's a long shot. I think the three big names of Bogart, Perez, and Beltran,
yeah.
I think you put them in any order. They have not made a decision as of yet. You've gotten conflicting reports about who's exactly leading the way. Brody Van Wagenen has basically told the organization he doesn't want any information getting out. So he's running it. He'll present the candidate to ownership. They have to improve it. Reportedly, ownership's gotten more involved over the last 3 or 4 days. But I would be surprised if it's not one of those three guys.
All right.
Watch Pat Murphy get introduced on Wednesday.
Oh, my God.
Knowing my luck and the way my picks have been going as of lately.
I hope not.
The new Mets manager, Pat Murphy.
Dude,
And then we could have a memory lane where Biseglia will put this together. It'll be long and drawn out as memory lanes
are. How about Daniel Murphy? He used to be a hell of a Met. The Nats? Where is he? He's not with the Nats.
Right. They should just have a whole staff of Murphys.
Just Murphys. Bob Murphy was the great play-by-play man.
Remember he was. Murphy, yeah? Yes.
Bunch of Murphys.
All right. J.J. Watt. Yeah. Done for the year if you're a Texan fan. You win the game yesterday. You come back on the Oakland Raiders at home. Watson's a stud. You dealt with some injuries and certainly on offense. Now you lose a big player on that defense. And Watt, who's having a pretty good year, Taz. Now he is done for the year. And now 3 of the last 4 years, he's not been able to play 16 games. This time due to a torn pec.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Pec injury, tear a pec, massive muscle in your chest. It's your pectoral muscles, one of your chest muscles. You have two pecs. Most people do anyway. So that's a big tear. That's a big, big muscle tear. It's a guy in J.J. Watt who's a big human. He's a big person. He's not a rookie. He's not a young guy, I should say. And he's been banged up a lot. He's had a litany of injuries throughout his career. You know, from knee issues to a dislocated elbow years ago to he had an ab issue. He had a herniated disc in his back, a couple of back issues, too. So, I mean, you know, as this past January, he had a knee strain grade 1. So when he had minor surgery on it, he had a scope on it. So when it's, you know, and now he tears a pec. So he's had a lot of, he's been banged up a lot, this guy, you know, and I hope he can come back for this, but it's going to be tough.
Going to be tough, and the one thing you can't count on is him being able to stay healthy, because he just doesn't. And for the Texans, obviously, defensively, you lose a big player on that side of the football here moving forward.
Number three.
Joe Flacco takes a blowtorch to the coaching staff.
He does, and if you missed it, here he is. Here's Flacco. Tough loss yesterday. For the Denver Broncos in Indy, last second field goal by Adam Vinatieri from 51 yards out to win it for the Colts. Here is Flacco after the game. Take a listen.
I just look at it like we're now a 2-6 football team, and we're like afraid to go for it in a 2-minute drill. You know, like who cares if you give the ball back to the guys with 1:40 left? They obviously got the field goal anyway. And once again, we're a 2-6 football team, and it just feels like we're kind of afraid to lose a game. It's 3rd and 5 at the end of the game. You know, it's who cares if they have a timeout there at the end or not? You know, getting in field goal range isn't that tough. You know, so you're just putting your defense in these bad situations. And I just felt like, what do we have to lose? Like, why can't we be aggressive in some of these situations? That's kind of how I feel about a lot of the game today.
Because your coach doesn't believe in you, Joe. That's why.
That's a good point.
That's the reason.
Well, that probably is the reason, but no, he's not wrong, Taz. He just can't be saying it to the media after the game.
Bad look. It's bad. It's bad, you know. And Fangio's been around a long time. And you can't out the guy like that. I mean, unless something happened behind the scenes. We were saying this earlier. Unless something happened with Flacco and the coaches. Look, if he's saying, like I said earlier, if he's saying this publicly, Flacco, and he's burying his coaches like this, Lord knows what he said in that locker room behind the closed doors. He must have. They must have had a blow up. I would assume they went at each other, you know?
Well, and also, Taz, what it shows you is a guy that sees the writing on the wall. If he was 28 years of age and was the guy in Denver, would he ever been saying that? He'd never say it in the room. Right?
Did you ever picture a player saying this about Bill Belichick?
No.
Could you imagine that?
No.
Be gone off the team in 2 seconds, including Brady.
No, they'd never say it. And they understand that going in, it's got to be the Belichick way. It certainly is, it's frustrating if you're the Denver Broncos. That's a tough loss. It certainly is. But Flacco also, as we pointed out, you mentioned it, Taz, Flacco has not exactly lit the league up on fire. I mean, he's been terrible.
Stinkfest.
He's got 6 touchdown passes in 8 games.
Horrible.
That's not good. They just traded Emmanuel Sanders to the 49ers, who starred yesterday as they thrashed the Carolina Panthers. So there you have it. Your 3 big headlines here on this Monday morning. Flacco speaking out against the lack of aggression for his Broncos staff late in the game in a loss against Indianapolis. Watt done for the year, torn pec. And the Nats have collapsed, and the Astros have gained momentum, lead the series 3-2 as that series heads back to Houston in the Fall Classic for Game 6 on Tuesday night. It's Taz and the Moose with you here on this Monday morning, right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader as the Colts try to silence the Steelers in Pittsburgh, or Tennessee clashes with Carolina, followed by Rodgers and the Packers headed out west to battle the Chargers. It all begins with JB and the guys on the NFL Today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. And Taz, John from Orange shot me a text, wanted you to know he's got a 20-inch neck, so he's out on a bow tie as well. So,
he's got a 20-inch neck, John. Man, he's a big man, huh?
Yeah, 20-inch neck, so
no bow tie for him.
No bow tie for John from Orange.
Under 16, do you have a pencil neck or a neck like a stack of dimes? Oh, Andrew just spoke to him. Then you can wear the bow tie.
Yeah.
You caught me in the middle of eating a protein bar, but I don't care.
I'm sorry. Or if you're, a researcher.
What? Researcher?
Yeah, like you're a medical researcher. Doctor. Don't you? The one thing about it, I always feel when I walked into a doctor's office and he's wearing a bow tie, I feel like he's a little bit more studious.
No, I feel like
he's a little bit more comfortable.
Excuse me. I feel like he's an egomaniac. He's about him. He wants people to see the bow tie.
I feel a little bit more comfortable. Do you feel more comfortable walking into a doctor's office and the guy's wearing a grease-stained shirt?
No, my doc, he wears black t-shirts, plain t-shirts.
Oh, that's
nice. What he wears. Just black. He wears all black schmuck, everything.
Oh, nice. There you go.
A little more of a deeper feel, a little more of an intense type of medical field. Yeah,
I got you. Yeah.
He don't go with the white. So everybody does the white.
Right.
But yeah, no. The bow tie thing with a doctor.
Yeah, I'm putting a little bit more of a comfort zone.
Really? I feel like a bow tie. Now, hold on. The prostate thing. Here's the thing with that. Isn't there other ways around that besides Finger Jones? I mean, can't you just get isn't it they could do your blood too and your urine, I believe, and they could check your levels through your blood.
So you want to hear a funny story?
I do.
All right, so here we go. So I had you have your yearly checkup.
Yeah, I have to go soon.
So I had my yearly checkup, right? And part of the yearly checkup is the check of the prostate.
Oh.
My doctor's female.
Oh.
Right? So everything was A-OK with the prostate. There was nothing sexual in the doctor's office, Taz. All right? Okay. So everything was OK with the prostate. All right? So my wife and I, right, maybe 5 weeks later, we have a Saturday night. Mother-in-law's watching the kids.
Yeah.
We go to this place, Half Full Brewery in Stamford, Connecticut.
All right.
I like a nice spot. Beer is good. Walk into the brewery.
Oh, no.
Who's sitting at the bar?
This woman, my doctor. The woman you had the relationship with.
My doctor. And the first thing I thought about was the fact that, yes.
Yeah, that's tough.
I don't know. Dude, that had to be. And your wife knows this doctor, obviously.
Yes, yes. She goes to her, too. Yes, it's the family doctor.
So she sees you. She's like, hey, Mark, how are you?
Yeah, right.
Hey, remember you went last week?
That's what your face looks like.
Exactly. No, stop.
You didn't have any pizza, right? Right. But that's what I'm thinking about. And,
you know, but I've been told.
Her boyfriend's a big sports fan. We're talking sports. I think we were talking a little bit about he was a big Texas fan. We're talking about Texas Longhorn football.
Oh, boy.
Talked a little baseball as well.
Longhorns. That'd be the Horns.
She's a Patriot fan. We were talking Tom Brady and Belichick and this and that.
Oh, yeah.
And that it was felt a little, for the first time, it felt a little awkward.
Yeah, you probably should just say to the boyfriend, hey, you know, did she tell you? Did Peggy tell you I was at the office?
Peggy.
Dr. Peggy.
Right. Can I get another beer? By the way, your girlfriend gave me a prostate exam.
I have a line. I won't say it. But, okay, so let me ask you though with that. Like, is this the first time you've had this?
No. No.
They say what age you're supposed to
40.
Stop?
Yeah.
I've had 35.
Oh,
I think it's a lot.
I started at 40.
I could have sworn. I've been told that you can get it. There's a way to have that checked to, like, through blood.
Yes.
And like the levels.
Yeah. I don't know which one tells you quicker.
I don't know.
But, yeah, there is a blood test now that you can take.
I've done
that. I didn't know that.
No, but I've done that the past few years. I haven't.
Oh, you haven't haven't had the procedure?
No, I haven't. But I've had the blood. I've always been told my levels are fine, you know, but. Maybe I'm getting bad information. I doubt it. My doctor's been around for a long time.
Yeah, no, I've heard the same
thing.
You've
heard that too,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
There's some, I mean, I don't know if they have to test specifically for that, but there is something that would be, some count that would be high in your blood
correct.
If you had an issue there.
Correct,
yes.
Right. That's what I was told, what you just said.
Maybe I got to look that up. Whatever I think about the prostate exam, I think, you ever see the movie Fletch with Chevy Chase?
Yes, a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a great prostate exam scene in there.
Moon River.
Yes. Using the whole
How long did it take, though? How long did it take when Peggy did it?
Well, it's quick.
Dim the lights.
What do you think it's? What do you think? No, she's lighting candles.
I'm just asking.
A small talk
it's
first.
It's very quick.
Do you lay on the side? You lay in your. Does she say? I mean, what position? What? I'm going to do nothing wrong.
What do you mean?
What?
You spread the legs and you lean over.
No. Spreading legs? Really?
Yes.
Wow. I think I was laying on my side.
I didn't know. I did not go.
Here we go. Well, is it different because your doctor's female? I mean, is that different?
No, I think if it was a male doctor, I think it would be just the same.
It might be more uncomfortable.
I think it would be. It
had nothing to do with female or male. It was the fact that,
well, I don't know, someone's doing that.
Nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever, you know, for me, I mean, I don't know. Wow.
What?
I guess I'll stick to the blood test I got going
on. I didn't even know about the blood test. Now that's something to look into later on down the line.
But I bet you Peggy would tell you, no, the best way is this way.
By the way, my wife and kids are listening right now. Good morning, Donna, Jackson, Gregory, and Paul. Hopefully you enjoyed that
off
conversation.
Apologize.
Yeah, they probably went to the Mickey Mouse channel.
Kids Bob Radio.
At this point. I thought it was uncomfortable at the bar. Talking about the Longhorns.
Have a good breakfast.
What's going on, Bogus? How are you?
Guys, after two straight losses at home in the Nationals, at least, had Max Scherzer starting game 5 of the World Series last night until he woke up with a nerve issue in his neck. So Joe Ross went instead. He was fine, except for giving up 2-run homers to Yordan Alvarez and Carlos Correa. The Astros won their third in a row, 7-1, and Gerrit Cole bounced back from his bad game 1.
Resiliency is a great word. I think this club demonstrates that trait, and we've demonstrated that trait throughout the whole year.
Cole allowed just a run on 3 hits with 9 Ks over 7, and now Justin Verlander starts game 6 tomorrow night in Houston. Steven Strasburg scheduled for Washington. The Packers raced to a 14-0 lead last night at Arrowhead, but then were down 17-14 at halftime, then even with the Chiefs in the fourth quarter. Then they won 31-24. Aaron Rodgers' team is now 7-1.
Well, I think we've found a way to win. You know, it hasn't been prettiest the entire time. There have been some pretty moments, though. But I think we've given a lot of guys confidence.
Last night it was running back Aaron Jones, 67 rushing yards, 7 catches for 159 and 2 scores, including the winning 67-yard connection midway through the fourth quarter. The Texans won yesterday 27-24 over the Raiders, but they lost J.J. Watt to a season-ending torn pec. It's the third time in 4 seasons he is done early with an injury. The Patriots and Niners still unbeaten. New England handled Cleveland 27-13. San Francisco smacked Carolina 51-13. Kyle Allen was 4-0, replacing the injured Cam Newton. He hadn't thrown a pick, then had 3, and was sacked 7 times yesterday.
Football, man.
Stuff's not always going to go your way.
Niners running back Tevin Coleman scored 4 touchdowns. The 51 points, the Niners most since 1993.
Hey, did you see this about LeBron James had to leave his house?
I did see that.
Yes. You got into it?
Couldn't find a hotel room.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Finally did.
Yeah.
Well, for people that don't know me,
yeah.
Well,
there's
sure
fires in the in wine country. I didn't think they were that far south, but I guess now there's...
They were
mandatory,
Northern California. They were
yeah.
Northern right there.
Yeah. Mandatory evacuations. This is all after a 120-101 win over the Hornets. LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Dwight Howard all played well in that game.
I just segued right back to sports.
Yeah.
You are a stud. You are just a great computer.
Well, and he tweeted a thank you to all the first responders out there in California. Helicopters are out there trying to create a line by dumping water left and right. I mean, it's just a terrible... Homes
horrible.
Are being destroyed.
Yep.
Lives are lost. It's just awful out there in California.
And there's
right
almost
now.
Nothing you can do
no.
to stop them in the first place. And then once they get burning, it's ridiculous.
Just, right. It's horrific.
It's horrible.
It really it is. Really so, yeah. So he had to evacuate his family. He said, I think he tweeted out basically praying for all those others in their area that they're safe and sound and thanked all the first responders and the like. But yes, he had to evacuate his home.
Tiger Woods tying Sam Snead for most PGA Tour wins at 82. Tiger, a 3-shot win over Hideki Matsuyama in Japan. LSU and Alabama flip-flopping atop the AP College Football Poll, so the Tigers will be number one when they meet in Tuscaloosa on November 9th. There's only 2 points between them, the smallest margin between 1 and 2 since Florida State and Auburn back in October of 2014. Pete's Islanders on a 7-game win streak, 5-3 winners over the Flyers last night. And the North Carolina Courage beat the Chicago Red Stars 4-0 to win their 2nd consecutive National Women's Soccer League title. Guys, back to you.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. We didn't talk a lot of college thanks. This morning at Taz, but we got to mention a couple of things that transpired.
Well, it's Monday.
you got to talk about a couple of things that transpired on Saturday that was. Number one, what a brutal loss for Oklahoma. On the road in Kansas State. That old Oklahoma defense finally showed up and reared its ugly head. I mean, yeah. Jalen Hurts can only do so much offensively, and they did rally, and I think they got the call right late on the onside kick.
Me
I do
too.
Think that was tipped right before it got to the 10-yard mark.
Definitely so
they did get that call right, initially called an Oklahoma recovery down 7 at that stage. They end up losing the game 48-41, but I mean, at one point in time, it was what? I mean, 41-23 or 48-23. Yeah. They were down 25 points before they came rallying back. That's a brutal loss for Oklahoma, and you got to give Harbaugh and Michigan a lot of credit for finally showing up against
wow.
a good team
yeah.
in the rain, at home, against the Irish, and they destroyed Notre Dame on Saturday night.
I was a little disappointed. I thought it was going to be a game. I was looking forward to a game between these two old-school rivals, and with the Irish and the Wolverines, didn't happen. To your point, Harbaugh had the Go Blue locked and loaded in Ann Arbor and sold out as usual. Big house in the rain, as you said, and big win, 45-14. They beat the dog, you know what, out of the Irish. They really did. I mean, and Michigan came in ranked 19th, where Notre Dame was ranked 8th. That's obviously going to change. So. I didn't see the new rankings. Are they out yet? They come out yesterday.
LSU has leapfrogged Alabama as number one in the land.
Mm, wow. Yeah. Wow.
So it's LSU right now, your top 5 in the country, all undefeated. LSU 1, Alabama 2, AP we're talking about. Ohio State is 3, Clemson 4, Penn State 5.
You took, it's funny, I got to put you over because you had in our picks, I know we'll go over Friday, but you took Auburn over LSU. I was like, whoa, because you took the points. I don't remember the spread.
It was 10.
So you won on that game.
Yeah, they covered late.
Yeah,
got the late touchdown. Because I think we had a 10. I think it would end up being a push because it was a 10-point spread, 23-13. They scored the late touchdown to make it a 23-20 final.
Good game.
Yeah, good game. Honestly, I thought that was probably one of the more entertaining games of the day besides, what transpired between, Kansas State and Oklahoma, because I think everyone, when Oklahoma's up 17-7, Taz, and they're leading that game early in the after the first quarter, you're saying, oh, this is going to be another Oklahoma rout. Hurts is going to put up basically arcade numbers, continue to cement himself as the favorite in the Heisman Trophy race, and away you go. And then all of a sudden, I mean, Oklahoma's defense played like they didn't feel like they had a football game, and Kansas State just moved the ball up and down the field.
Yeah, they did. And it come out of halftime, and Kansas State, they put up 17 points in the third quarter, and Oklahoma put up a donut. They couldn't score, so you could see coaching-wise, that there was an adjustment made by K-State, but Oklahoma, they didn't make the right adjustment. So that's a huge win for that K-State program, and very impressive. To, you know, when Oklahoma went into that thing at 5 and Hurts, well, he had a pretty good day. He was 19-26, 395 yards, no interceptions, one touchdown. Ran the ball well too. But
defense was atrocious.
Defense was horrible, to your point. The Sooners' defense was real bad.
And Taz, that November 9th game in Tuscaloosa, Alabama LSU. I mean,
that's going to be legit.
Taz, that's going to be an unbelievable game.
I can't wait.
I'm excited. I can't wait for that game.
No, I'm fired up about it too. I mean, I like Alabama a lot. I respect their program. I respect Nick Saban. But I feel like, and I was telling you this, a buddy of mine lives down there, and he's a huge Alabama fan, and I'm like, you guys haven't played anybody. And they haven't. They haven't played anyone. I want to see what happens when they play LSU now. November 9th, I want to see what happens when they play LSU, because they have not, in my opinion, they haven't. You know, they beat up on Tennessee. They beat up on Texas A&M. You know, they beat up on Ole Miss. South Carolina they beat up on. They destroyed New Mexico State. Who they play?
No, I haven't played anybody. You're right. Okay, with that being said, though, of the 5 undefeated teams, I know you could go a lot deeper and look at Oregon, Georgia, and throw Oklahoma into the mix, even with the loss this weekend. But if you look at the 5 undefeated teams, LSU, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Penn State, that are at the top of the rankings there. I'm not throwing Minnesota into the mix. But those 5 that are your
this
top 5.
This is a very
5.
Good team, by the way. That Minnesota
the Gophers
are good, man.
Right, they're a good team, but they're not on the level. We're not, you know, we're talking about a different level right now. But Minnesota's a good team. I'm not going to take that away from them.
Yeah.
Of those 5, who's the team that has impressed you the most?
I'd have to lean right now towards the Buckeyes, towards Ohio
State.
I'm with you. I'd have to. They just beat up on a Wisconsin team that was supposed to be pretty good. They beat them 38-7.
Destroyed them.
They destroyed them. They're smoking guys in the Big Ten. They smoked Nebraska. They smoked the Spartans of Michigan State. They smoked Northwestern. I mean, really, you know, they're beating up their in-conference, you know, Big Ten, you know, opponents. It's impressive enough. And now, what do they got next? They got Maryland next. They're going to beat them. Then they got Rutgers. And that the real good game is going to be when they play Penn State, because Penn State's strong program.
Yeah, that is going to be a good one. Yeah, I mean, Maryland, they should destroy. And then Rutgers coming off a bye week down at Piscataway, New Jersey. I mean, that's going to be a tough matchup for the Scarlet Knights.
No doubt. And speaking on Penn State, right, because they're 8-0-2, as
they
you
are.
Said. And look, they're impressive.
They are.
They beat Michigan. They beat Iowa. They beat Purdue. Iowa's a good program, and they beat them. You know, they beat them.
And you look at what you know. You mentioned in terms of what Penn State, they're sitting here at 8-0 during the course of the season, and they've got at Minnesota coming up November 9th. They're off this week. A number of the team, I think, of those 5 teams, the only team playing this week is Clemson. I think they're playing I think it's Wofford or somebody like that. But Penn State coming off the bye at Minnesota, Indiana, at Ohio State, that closes the season at Rutgers. They're going to win in Minnesota, I believe. I think Penn State's better than Minnesota. Haven't seen Minnesota in person. I mean, Minnesota's a good team, but I think they're going to get to that game November 23rd at Ohio State, which is going to be an unbelievable scene. Yeah. And both of those teams are going to be undefeated.
Oh, yeah. No, I no argument for me. I mean, you know, Georgia, you know, the Bulldogs are they're 6-1, right? They got one loss. They lost to South Carolina. Otherwise, I would put them – I'm a believer in what's smart, what he does there, Kirby, and with that program. But, you know, I'm a little surprised they did have that loss against South Carolina, you know. I'm trying to think of the teams that – you know, things have – it's different, I think, than all the past years, you know. Seems like it's more of – it's not a 1-2 team race anymore.
I agree with you. I think it's wide open.
Yeah.
I think if – Taz,
that's why I mentioned Georgia.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think there – you could make an argument. I mean, there's still a path for Georgia to get there. There's still a path for Oklahoma, even with the loss yesterday, or I should say on Saturday, against Kansas State, for them to get there. They're going to need a little bit of help, obviously, but there's still a path to get there. And I agree with you. Clemson is not a world beater. Neither is Alabama. We've talked about Ohio State. I think this is probably, of the last 3 or 4 years, this is the most wide open this championship race is, to
no
where
doubt.
You can make an argument for a number, I would say probably 7, 8, 9 teams that could win a national championship.
And look, you're right. And look, we talked about Michigan, you know, beating up on Notre Dame. Look at Notre Dame. I mean, everybody, we all thought there was a chance that they were going to come in this year and do really well. They're not. They lost to Georgia. They lost to Michigan. Okay. I got to tell you, this kid, Ian Book, I don't think he's the QB. I don't think much of him. Watching him play, I don't. There was a lot of hype before the season on the Fighting Irish. I'm not sold on these guys at all. That, to me, they're out of the picture, 5-2 anyway.
I agree with you. They're done. Yeah. The Irish are done. And Michigan, Jim Harbaugh finally got, you know, that kind of, I would say,
statement win.
Yeah, no doubt. Got all the pressure off of his back. That was a big
win.
Relief victory for Jim Harbaugh, finally beating a good team. And not just beating them, destroying them.
Beat them
on
up.
Saturday
yep.
night. 855-212-4CBS. We'll come back. We got the undercard for you. It's Taz and the Moose with you on this Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line of 855-212-4227 brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico, go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Time right now to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Joel in Toledo. Can we fire Freddie Kitchens already? Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. Listen, Browns have been a massive disappointment. So I can understand the frustration here with Freddie Kitchens, Taz. I think he has shown you his greenness, to be kind. As an NFL head coach, I think the team has played sloppy football. I think at times they've played selfish football. You've seen a regression in Baker Mayfield as well, lack of adjustments over the course of games too. I think you have every right to be concerned about Freddie Kitchens. Do I think he's going to get fired? I personally do not. Do you?
No. I don't think he's going to get fired. No, I don't want to see anyone get fired, but I don't think he's going. I think they're going to give him some time. You know, you got to give him more time. You got to give him more time. Yeah. You can't do that after 1 year. We saw the Cardinals do that, right? And the Cardinals do that, and it's just a bad look for the program, for the team. You got to give him time. You're right. He's green.
It is, and ironically enough, the former Cardinals head coach is the defensive coordinator in Cleveland.
Yeah, there you go. That's right.
I mean, think about that. Yeah. So they brought him aboard to be their DC. No, but I get why you're frustrated. You know, you looked at it, I thought the team would be a lot more dynamic offensively. Taz, and we talked about the time and the rationalization to have Kitchens here and name him the coach instead of Greg Williams. Was that because you were fearful the Browns were of losing Freddie Kitchens and the connection that he had with Baker Mayfield? I'll tell you, Mayfield's regressed.
Oh,
the
God.
Offense
oh.
has regressed. I mean, he looks terrible.
Oh, dude.
And
a guy
that made all the accurate throws a year ago, Taz, he looks highly inaccurate as well.
He could not deal with anything Belichick threw at him, and Mayo and Steven Belichick with the coaching staff defensively for the Patriots. Mayfield was like a deer in the headlights, dude. No, any hot takes from him? Any sarcastic sound checks from him? No?
No.
Nothing this week?
No.
Humble Jones.
Yeah, yeah. That went away. As will all the commercials, Taz, that he does.
Thank God.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah,
now he's got the Dustbuster one. It changes. How many days do you think they were in that stadium recording those, taping those? How many days do you think? That's 3-4 days, you think?
Not less.
2 days?
You could do them all in 2 days.
You think all of them in 2 days?
I think so.
There's like six of them.
Yeah, you could do it all in 2 days. I think
maybe
so.
Maybe you're right.
It's quick lines. You know.
I get it.
Did you do a commercial?
I have not, no.
I have.
I know. That's why I was asking.
Jesus. Love the setup.
Yes.
I have.
I know you have. Sure. Yes. So how long did it take you? How long were
all
you
day? But we did it was stack of two. We had a whole. It was me and Paulie Walnuts from The Sopranos.
Nice.
But we it was a long commercial, and it was we did a lot. There was trucks involved. We did it right over here, right in Brooklyn, right over in like Greenpoint.
Okay.
Yeah. We're
2 days it took you
by the Brooklyn Navy Yard. Yeah.
For
two
a 60-second spot. Or it was 2 minutes?
I think it was a 60. No, I think it was a trilogy? I think it was a 60-second spot. I think it was.
A trilogy.
It took all day. Okay. We had trailers there. They had all sorts of stuff. We had a truck with illegal goods on it. It was on the bit. We had all sorts of stuff.
Did you have Haddad's, the food delivery service?
There was a food delivery. I didn't have the name of the company, but
there right was. You see them now if you go around. Like, sometimes you'll see where they're shooting, I don't know, TV, film, commercials, what have you.
Yeah.
It's a specific company that's a catering company.
Might have been that, my friend.
It's called Haddad's.
I had my own trailer, my own, what do you call it? My own Winnebago.
So nice,
I
was good there. For you.
Yeah, and then Paulie Walnuts came in. He was hanging out with me and there. We were hanging out talking. It was great.
That's nice. A nice day.
Yeah, it was a lot of years ago, though.
It's a good day in the Taz household. Yeah.
Well,
it's a fun day.
Yeah, that was a
good
long
experience.
Time. That's but yeah, that was a long time.
That was one spot, 2 days.
2 days, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe it was, you know, 2-3 days here for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, here we go, the undercard. Tight.
Taz and the Moose present the undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, Mike.
Well, it was a testy weekend for the Eagles, but somehow they overcame it, went into Buffalo and defeated the Bills 31-13.
Why
right
you
now,
bring this up?
It's a story we missed, Taz. Okay, so right now in the NFC East, you have the Cowboys at 4-3 and the Eagles at 4-4. Who do you feel more confident in winning the NFC East?
Oh, it's a segue to the NFC East to mention the
I think the Cowboys.
The Bills. That was nice.
You're welcome. Say the Cowboys.
What's the question?
Eagles or Cowboys? Who's winning the NFC East? We'll take away
Cowboys.
The prelude from Baseglia.
Thank you. That's what it was. There was no need to mention the
Bills. No, there was a need.
There was a need because the Bills lost. They won. You'd be proud as a peacock. You'd be walking in, you'd be dressed up as a bison.
We're going to go with the Bills on this question, with the Eagles and Bills. The NFC East, I'm going to go. I'm sorry, what did I say? Bills. The Cowboys. I'm
with you. The Cowboys.
Yeah.
We're all in agreement. Dallas on this Monday morning wins the NFC East despite the Eagles. Season-saving victory up in Buffalo yesterday.
They didn't get lucky. It's just my team played bad. And I got to tell you, Wentz looked pretty good. Played good.
He did play well.
He did.
Wentz did play well, and the Eagles came away with a tough, hard-earned victory. But they were the better team.
I just want to say this. The Bills, some questionable decision-making on some of the offensive play calling really pissed me off. At one point in the third quarter, we run the ball and run the ball well.
By the great McDermott?
I put more the heat on the offensive coordinator. You know, I'm not going to knock Sean McDermott. You know that.
I know.
He's a defensive guru. I love him. But, dude, I'm just telling you, like, some of the play calling was really a little sketchy after halftime. I was a little disappointed, man, and I was very angry. And this is a team. This is a game. We should have won this game. Frank Gore was running the ball well, and it's like, Dabble, remember, he was with Alabama, the offensive coordinator. I don't know what the frick he was doing. He pissed me off yesterday.
So. I thought the Eagles were just better. It's fine. I mean, the Bills are going to, I think, going to be a playoff team in the AFC.
Yeah.
I think you'll be a playoff team.
I do. I think the defense, you got to now find a way to win this week, which I think you will.
But yesterday, that was a season-saving victory. The Eagles were a desperate football team going to Buffalo. They had to win that game and win the game nonetheless.
See, Mike, you had to bring this game up.
Yeah. All right, next.
Damn it.
Testing, 1-2.
Chargers 17-16 win over the Bears yesterday. Chargers finally got a win in a dramatic fashion. The quarterback problems in Chicago, Trubisky issues, small deal, medium deal, big deal.
Big deal, he stinks.
Yeah, Moose on that, he does. I liked him a while back. I don't know.
Nice,
the other shoe has dropped with Trubisky Jones. Yeah, now I'm with him.
How about Pinheiro missing a 41-yard field goal?
Again for these Bears.
I know.
They
How about at the, it was as the Bears were decked out in their orange unis, or orange tops, I should say.
I like
Pinheiro
those.
Misses, I like those as well. And then Nagy was asked, did he give any thought about maybe getting the kick closer? He said no. 41-yarder.
I know.
41 yards.
It's probably windy. There was windy everywhere yesterday in all these games. I didn't see. I know the mess.
There was
with
a
Pinheiro,
little wind, but that had some. You got to make that kick if you're Eddie Pinheiro. No, 41 yards.
You got to make that kick. No, I agree with you.
But the quarterback issue, Trubisky's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's horrible. Yes.
He is. He is an awful quarterback. He really is. All right. That puts a nice bow on this one. Mike, good job across the way.
Thanks.
Pete, fantastic as always. Andrew Bogish.
Thanks, everyone.
The bow tie man. Taz, good stuff, man.
Bow tie man. Thank you, sir.
You got it.
You too. Good job. Okay.
Thank you, brother. Right. Download that podcast, radio.com, Apple Podcast, Stitcher. Remember to check it out wherever you get your podcast each and every day. We always appreciate the love and the support since this show launched. Have yourself a wonderful Monday, everybody. Till tomorrow. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.